Salaam Ministries is a ministry that we believe God has raised up to equip the church to make disciples among Muslims. It's wonderful that in this day, more Muslims are coming to Christ than in the past. Statistically, it shows more in the last 40 years than all previous history. God's doing something in the Muslim world. Yet, statistics also show that the majority of those who leave Islam and choose to follow Christ don't follow through. And this, according to some former Muslims who are in leadership in the church. So our keen desire is to come alongside national pastors, especially where Muslims are coming to Christ in numbers, and support them with training resources that they can use so that those who are leaving Islam really will become disciples of Christ. And that's our vision. On that statistic, I'm not sure it's completely unique. That is the case for those who leave Islam. I don't know the statistics for everyone else, the other three quarters of humankind who are not Muslims, and of those who choose to follow Christ. But it is our desire to serve in such a way that every opportunity will be given that people who identify with Christ will become his disciples. That's our vision. Some of the resources that we have, and we've brought them here today, which is relevant to the topic this morning, is a book which has been well received. We're translating it into Malay. It's one of our Salaam projects. Malaysia, as a government, passed a law that Christians can no longer use the name Allah. And it is to distinguish between, well, it's a bit hard to know for sure, but the initiative is to separate the Christian and the Muslim population. And so this is one book that we believe the church in Malaysia will value at this time. Liberty of the Captives is another resource that we are printing. We've translated it into different languages. Overdubbing the 6.5-hour video series, which is available on 3 DVDs. It's into Arabic, Urdu, the Amharic is done. And I'll likely be corrected after the service, it's Amharic. The language a lot of Ethiopians speak. We've already published the book and put it online, and it is being very well received. What's unique about this teaching is that it leads the former Muslim not just in identifying with Christ, but renouncing their loyalty and devotion to Islam, to Muhammad. And that is something that a lot of people have been unwilling to do, to not go that far, but not unlike anyone else who comes out of the world into Christ, there are things that need to be dropped off, a leaving to cleave, a coming out from and being set apart unto and into an exclusive relationship with Christ. And this resource is excellent in that way. Well, this morning, well, one other resource I'll just comment on. The Gospel of John was produced over a decade ago, but it failed in the box office. It's word for word, John, and a group bought the rights for this and are overdubbing it into a number of different languages. I have the DVD with 7 on it. As soon as the Farsi is done, we'll have 8. And Salaam will be making this available to churches who take our training program in how to make disciples among Muslims as an outreach tool. And we're quite excited about this because in a non-commercial way, when your Muslim friend expresses interest in knowing God, your God, the God you serve, this is something that can be put in their hands. And there's no other book like John to emphasize who Jesus really is. We're going to show you a clip in a few minutes near the end of what I have to share, but we're excited for the launch of this as well, and that's for something here in the West that we can offer churches, practical, that they can utilize with their Muslim friends, whether it's at high school, at work, or your neighbor. My aim this morning is to offer practical help to introduce your Muslim friends and neighbors to Jesus. Canadians are known to be peace-loving, tolerant, and our culture can tend to produce a passivity in us as believers. Muslims are more ready to talk about God than many. And when God comes up, will you be ready? Will you have an answer? This is our subject this morning. And if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to Matthew 16. We're going to read verses 13 to 17. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Just give me a little house lights here for a minute. I've got an exercise for you before we get going. I know this is a little irregular, but you have the back of your bulletin. I would like you to find a partner and in 1 minute, no more, jot down the essentials of the gospel. All right? What is the gospel? If you had 1 minute to communicate it to someone, write it down. 15 more seconds. How did you do? Well, you can check yourself. As I share briefly, I'll not comment in an exhaustive way. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin, so that we might become the children of God through faith alone in Christ alone. Perhaps you've heard of the Romans Road to Salvation. You can Google that, and it's a wonderful way using the book of Romans. The entire book of Romans unpacks what Paul says in the first chapter, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." There's a concise summary in 1 Corinthians 15. And if you ever have a mind block, mind freeze, you know, and you've got that moment and you, I need to hit the main points, you have someone's asking you, think of 1 Corinthians 15. Pull out 1 Corinthians 15. It's right there. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 at the same time, most of whom are still living. And last, he appeared to me also." It's right there. In essence, Jesus' gospel is a confession that Christ died for my sins and was raised on the third day. The gospel is all about Jesus. The Christ actually died, actually rose, and actually lives today. The unique Christ, God incarnate, sent from God, is himself the good news. Your answer will determine your destiny Scripture says in Romans, if we confess with our mouths Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And there's other scriptures similar. Is this just a formula? A mantra? Say this and you'll be saved? Jesus repeatedly taught that moving from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light involved a restored and intimate relationship with God. One of the most powerful passages in Jesus' teaching to me is in Matthew 7, where Jesus describes people coming before him and saying, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me. I don't know you. Clearly, we need to respond to Jesus. When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Our destiny depends on our response, which is not just in our heads. It is a response in our hearts, which involves a surrender and a yielding of our lives to Christ and giving him the reins and walking with him. Your answer will determine your testimony. Out of sin, we were filled with shame and fear. We ran away from God, but through Christ, we have a relationship with God, a personal relationship, a harmony, a oneness. Christ doesn't reform our old natures. Through Jesus' work on the cross, our hell-bent nature dies. In Christ, we no longer strive to become what God wants us to be. Instead, we put on Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. As we mature in Christ, we increasingly walk in our new identity in Christ, experiencing the relationship with God we were created to have. Our relationship with God, expressed through our relationships at home and beyond, is the core of our testimony. As the Gaither song goes, all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. How you answer Jesus' question, who do you say that I am, is important to Muslims. Muslims, like all people, need the Lord. A common belief among Muslims is that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Dr. Amir Kaner, a former Muslim himself and the president of Truett McConnell College in Georgia, writes in the Decision magazine, today, many Muslims assume they worship the same God as Christians, something maintained by the Quran. And quoting Surah 29, but say, we believe in the revelation which has come down to us, and in that which came down to you. Our God and your God is one, and it is to him we submit in Islam. Now, I'm not going to coach you in a polemic approach to sharing Christ with your Muslim friend today. There can be value in polemics, but generally, the rule of thumb is we don't argue. It's not helpful. It is not productive. But Muslims deserve to know the truth. And I think you're the key. Because it may not be something that comes to them in a book or in a movie or from the mosque. A common word was an initiative made by a number of Islamic clerics, and it was basically to put forward to the world that Allah is the same God that Christians and Jews worship. Some professors at Yale, one of these I know personally, wrote a response to A Common Word. And if you Google the Yale response to A Common Word, you'll find it. And it basically was agreement. It was like, let's agree on what we can agree on, and yes, we worship the same God. And it's an appalling move. Many evangelical leaders signed this. Well-known leaders. You can find their names. Miroslav Volf has written a work which has been commonly accepted among Christians, promoted even in December by the largest evangelical denomination in Canada, as worthy of reading to understand and have an approach to sharing Christ that is not offensive, which is effective. It's hugely compromising, yet promoted by evangelical agencies today. You can set the record straight for them. The truth will set Muslims free. Your answer is important to Muslims because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you're the key for your Muslim friend to be free. Share the Christ, the Son of the living God, with your Muslim friend. I'm going to move quickly. I'm going to read several scriptures. I'm not trying to promote the Quran, and I'm not for public readings of the Quran in church. One of the churches here in the city had one of their grow groups or cell groups study the Quran for 3 months. I don't feel it's a necessary move. I don't recommend that. You don't need to be, well-versed in Islam and the Quran in order to share your faith with Muslims. You need some basics, but what you really need to know is what you believe, and don't get hung up with what they believe. And so my effort is not to arm you with what the Quran says and so that you have all the surahs here today. But I am here to provide some practical help so that you could sit with your Muslim friend and introduce them to Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the eternal creator. Can you say amen to that? See some nods? Is Jesus involved in creation? Was he there? Surah 3 in the Quran says, Jesus was created from dust, that Jesus was a created human and was not eternal. And so, in your sharing with Muslims, you don't need to go find that. You don't need to tell them what they believe, not respectful even. But for the Muslim friend who after time and you've developed a relationship with and who expresses an interest to meet Jesus, you can sit with them. The Al-Rashid Mosque just a couple years ago produced that flyer. Maybe you got one. Muhammad, you deserve to know him. It was beautiful. And in it, it included Muslims love Jesus. This is one of the most popular things that Islamic leaders would be telling us in Canada in these days. I see it on banners. I see it in materials. And so when the taxi driver or when your friend in school says, yeah, we love Jesus too, you need to have some thinking about what you will say. Will you just let that pass? Or will you have a plan? You can't give them everything right then and there. And what I'm going to share with you is not what you do in one sitting necessarily. And it's likely not what you would do in the very first time that you would start talking about Jesus. It could happen in maybe two or three, sessions where you sit down and they've said, yeah, show me from the Bible who you believe Jesus is. So you would be taking your Bible and ideally opening to Colossians 1, 16 to 17, and you would let them read it. That would be the ideal. Think about it. It's not that hard. if they've asked and they want to know what you believe, then you don't have to stick it in their face, but it's like, here it is, and I'll show you. And this is one of the scriptures, Colossians 1:16-17. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So it may not be evident just right away in the reading what that means, and you would prepare. And there's other scriptures that you can draw from. But you can start with talking about how Jesus is the creator. Isn't it nice to have some people who believe in creation? That's a good thing. And so it's a good place to start in identifying Jesus. What do we believe? This is what we believe. Jesus of the Bible is the creator. Who is Jesus? He's the name above all names. Surah 2 says, Jesus is one of the prophets, not greater than Abraham, Ishmael, and Moses. To quote in Surah 2, we make no distinction between any of them, and we are Muslims in submission to him, Allah. Yet we know that our Christ, the Christ we know, is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the I Am. He is the King of Kings, the righteousness of God. You could take them to Ephesians 1:21, and I'm not popping up the references, so you'll have to catch those. The first one about Jesus being the eternal creator was Colossians 1. And this second one, Jesus is the name above all names, is Ephesians 1:21. And to share the truth that Jesus is far above all rule and authority and power, the name of Jesus is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You can respectfully and calmly share that we believe Jesus is the name above all names. Who is Jesus? Jesus is worthy, commanded, to be worshipped. Surah 5 says, Allah will say, O Jesus, Son of Mary, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as deities besides Allah? And Jesus replies to Allah, it was not for me to say that to which I have no right. And so, again, I'm not just proof-texting the Quran. I'm not just pulling obscure verses from the Quran. I'm commenting on commonly held beliefs that Muslims hold. If Muslims are listening to this online, they can attest to what I'm saying, that these are commonly held beliefs. Muslims would say it's blasphemy that Jesus should be worshipped because he's just a prophet. This would be offensive to them. But we're talking about what we believe Jesus to be, what the Bible teaches us about Jesus. And so we would go to Philippians 2 for your friend who wants to know what you believe and who the Jesus is that you love. You would go to Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb of God. In Surah 4, and supported by other teachings in Islam, Islam teaches that Jesus was not killed, nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him. Those who are differing about it are in doubt about it and are only making assumptions, and they did not kill him for certain. This is what Muslims believe. But according to John 1:29, we read how the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in our modern society, sacrifices and so on are not something we understand very well. But Muslims understand it very well. I have been present when the sheep has been slaughtered for Eid. I've observed these ceremonial rituals. And, you know, here in Edmonton, you can buy halal meat. It's not hard for Muslims to understand the significance. They get it easier than we do, what it means that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. In the Hadith, much of Islamic belief and theology has been constructed beyond the Quran. The Quran is core and revered, but beyond that, there are subsequent writings which are incorporated as credible and from which Islamic theology is based. And one of the Hadith say, "Jesus is not fit to be an intercessor." I'm quoting the English translation. "On the day of resurrection, people will ask for an intercessor." And the account is given that they'll start with Adam. "Adam, would you be an intercessor for us?" And Adam says, "No, I'm not worthy to be an intercessor." And they go to Noah, and the same response. Abraham, and the same response. Moses, and the same response. And then Jesus. And Jesus is quoted in the Hadith as saying, "I am not fit for this undertaking. You'd better go to Muhammad." So this is what Muslims believe, specifically that Jesus is not a mediator. But you can take your friend and share the truth of who Jesus is, according to 1 Timothy 2:5, that there is one God, one mediator between God and man. You can go to Hebrews 8:6, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator for a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises," and other scriptures, which convey and communicate that Jesus is our mediator. We have a mediator between us and the Father. Who is Jesus? Jesus is our salvation. In Surah 4, we find that Islam teaches paradise or heaven is only for Muslim believers who do enough righteous deeds, or salvation per se, is only found in the five pillars of Islam. Jesus is not involved in salvation. So Islam is if you do the five pillars and you're faithful to those, then when judgment day comes, God may be of the mind to say it's enough, or he may be of the mind to say it's not enough. And there's no assurance of salvation. They don't really have the concept of salvation, but there's definitely the imagery of the weigh scale, and so there is a continual responsibility in carrying out the five pillars of Islam to have the scales in your favor on judgment day. But you can take your Muslim friend to Scripture, and you can lead them to Acts 4:12, that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And you can take them to Romans 10:9. And we've seen God has done his part. We need to do our part, and we need to choose to renounce the former and to cleave unto Christ. And so when you introduce Jesus, you are introducing the gospel. You don't have to say, "I'm going to tell you the gospel," or "I'm going to tell you the way of salvation." You introduce them to Jesus, who is a wonderful prophet to Muslims. Muslims want to know about Jesus. The Injil, the Gospels, are one of their holy books. Rarely have they seen it or read it. The Muslim friend I met with a month ago and had the opportunity to talk about some of these things. He's not ready for all of it, but I've got him reading John and Lord willing, you know, he'll open up more and he'll start asking questions. But you're introducing Jesus, someone who they've always known about and who they believe they love, and you're telling them about the Jesus that you know. And remember, the basis for that is that they've seen something in you. They've been attracted to something in you. So they care enough to hear it. And your words may not do it, but the Holy Spirit can take these words because they're living words. And they may have dreams. And the Lord will line up other things for them that will contribute to them coming to a place of saying, who is Jesus? And they'll have to answer that question for themselves. Who is Jesus? Jesus died and was pierced and rose again to save people from their sin. Easter, an incredible. I know we don't celebrate it much culturally in Canada, but when Syrians come, Iraqis come, they expect to be introduced to your culture. And a wonderful opportunity. Have them for dinner and let them know what Easter means. Surah 4 says, Jesus was never crucified. Without dying, Jesus was raised by Allah to himself. And again, not obscure verses, commonly held beliefs. You can ask Muslims, like even Muslims who don't know Islam very well, who don't go to the mosque and they simply were born a Muslim and identify, they would never consider changing, but they don't know a lot about Islam. They will say, did Jesus die on a cross? They know that. They would know that Jesus was never crucified. That's what they believe. But you can take them to Isaiah 53:5, prophetic prophecies regarding Christ are fantastic and could lead to further study for them and for you. That verse says, Jesus was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Or you could take them to John 11:25, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Remember, it's not your words. Ideally, you're having them read it from this book that we believe. Who is Jesus? Jesus breaks every curse of sin and death. The Hadith say Jesus will break every cross. This is what Muslims believe, that Jesus will break every cross. But you can take them to Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And you can talk about what that means to you. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Revelation 22:3, obviously there's other scriptures and I'm just giving you a sampling. Who is Jesus? Jesus is alive forevermore. We've only got one more after this. The Hadith say, in Jesus' second coming, Jesus will marry, have children, and die in 40 years. But we can take them to Hebrews 7:24 and from our hearts to our Muslim friends say that Revelation 1:18, do not be afraid, Jesus said. Who is Jesus? Jesus' words, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. A relationship with Jesus who's overcome death. A relationship with a Jesus who overcomes death for us. This is the Jesus that we love. And the last one, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God, made flesh among us. We didn't start with that one because Muslims believe that we believe that God came down and had sex with Mary, and so you had the Son of God. And even my friend here that I most recently discussed this with, he had never had anyone tell him before that we didn't believe that. You know, I've wondered about taking out a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal to say what Christians believe on this point, because it might help. I don't know. But a good way is for you personally to say, that's blasphemous to us as well. We don't believe that. Surah 4 says, Jesus is not God in the flesh. He is not the Son of God. Jesus is but a messenger. Believe in Allah. Exalted is he above having a son. Well, that's what they believe. That's their belief. Our belief is that the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while yet we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it is tough explaining to anyone the Trinity, right? But this was God's way of communicating it to us. You know, if God spoke right now and we knew it was God, would we say, God can use those words? Yeah. No. God is God. And when Jesus went in the water, the rivers of Jordan, and came up, and the voice from heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, who are we to say, could you have used a different imagery than Son? Many scriptures use this language. So today, we find ourselves in a dilemma. The largest scripture translation agency in the world has chosen in the past, hopefully they've stopped, to make Muslim idiom translations of the Bible that remove Son of God and instead use guardian, changing Father, Son of God terminologies. Unfortunately, there are other ministries that continue to produce and distribute, even against the will of national church leaders. In the name of missiology, in the name of sociology, in the name of being culturally relevant. Well, they already believe that we've changed the scriptures. And they point to the number of English translations, et cetera, that we have to support that. But how confusing to have. It is completely well known around the world that Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So why would we produce new translations in Muslim languages that have changed that to reinforce the idea that it's important that you tell your Muslim friend what that means. And if it's tough, study. It is tough. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. One of the resources we have is a Lebanese brother who's trained many, many people and himself being very fruitful in ministry among Muslims, the five principles, and one of the ones, the five biggies that he parks on is the Trinity. And there's help for you in presenting the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Muslims believe we believe in three gods. We don't. We do not believe in three gods. And you can tell them. You can share this with them. I'd like to show you a clip from the Gospel of John, Lord willing, available this month in 8 languages for distribution in Canada. This is English for us. Get past the costumes and the accents and hear Jesus' words. Hear Jesus' heart. It was important that people would know who Jesus was. Go ahead, Caleb.
It was winter, and the festival of the dedication of the temple was being celebrated in Jerusalem. Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple when the people gathered round him.
How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us the plain truth. Are you the Messiah?
I have already told you, but you would not believe. The deeds I do by my father's authority speak on my behalf. But you will not believe, for you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never die. No one can snatch them away from me. What my father has given me is greater than everything. And no one can snatch them away from the father's care. The father and I are one.
And the people again picked up stones to throw at him.
I have done many good deeds in your presence, which the Father gave me to do. For which one of these do you want to stone me?
We do not want to stone you because of any good deeds, but because of your blasphemy. You're only a man, but you're trying to make yourself God.
It is written in your own law that God said you are gods. We know that what the scripture says is true forever. And God called those people gods, the people to whom his message was given. As for me, the Father chose me and sent me into the world. How then can you say that I blaspheme because I said that I am the Son of God? Do not believe me then if I am not doing the things my Father wants me to do, but if I do them, even though you do not believe me, you should at least believe my deeds, in order that you may know, once and for all, that the Father is in me, and that I am in the Father.
Blasphemy!
Once more they tried to seize Jesus, but he slipped out of their hands.
I don't want to deny Jesus. Muslim or non-Muslim, who express an interest to know my Savior. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe in me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. Jesus was sent, and he said, peace, salam, be to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. You are sent. Jesus has sent you to share who Jesus is. Not just in the head, in the heart. Our Savior, the one who has reconciled us to God, no longer in conflict with God, no longer at war, but now the conflict has been resolved in Christ, reconciled, home once again. Jesus is God, the gospel. God bless you.